You're listening to an encore presentation of The Rush with Ryan and Jay. News Talk 1010.
Game time.
It cuts right to the bone.
But it is a tougher sell for sure.
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
Starting to question my Fitbit. I just hit 10,000 steps and I'm sitting. Maybe it's because I wave my arms around when I'm talking. Maybe that's what it is. Welcome to the round table. It is the Friday edition for this 29th of November. A full house. Starting with senior consultant with Crestview Strategy, Jessica Aaron Sandu is in studio with us. Hello, how are you, sir?
Good to be back.
It's been a while. I got to take you behind the curtain. It was when we lost our producer, George, one of George's responsibilities was putting together the roundtables. So when he left, he said, you know, one of my gifts to you, Jay, aside from the wisdom I've brought to your program, is here's all the cards to get into the building from the outstanding members of the roundtable that you can give to them when you finally see them. Today was the last card. The final card was handed to you.
And it's you have to wait longest for the best thing.
That's what it is. You're totally worth the wait.
The best to last.
Political commentator, international man of mystery, Trevor Mayo joins us.
Howdy, howdy.
Welcome again, Trevor. Thanks, thank you so much for being in. And managing partner at TNKR Media, a guy we haven't talked to in a long time, Dan Delmar.
Bonjour. Hi, guys.
How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
And that's because you've got that French thing going on all the time.
Nice to be
in. Some of us have a hard time with that. Welcome to the roundtable. So much to talk about today. Let's jump right in. It's the end of a really long road and a road for so many people, including the victims of this, that might not ever end. The guy who opened fire inside of the Eaton Center's food court in 2012, sentenced to life in prison, but could be eligible for parole in as little as 16 months. That, of course, is Christopher Husbands, who drew a handgun and opened fire in the Eaton Center food court. June the 2nd, 2012, he killed two. He wounded several other people, including Connor Stevenson, who spoke as a man today but was a boy when he was originally shot. And here's what he had to say for everyone in Toronto.
I feel scared for everybody in Toronto. I mean, he could just go out. He's probably, even in the letters that he wrote, he said that he was going to get revenge in letters that he wrote. So if he gets let out, he's going to shoot somebody else. And I just hope that there's not another 13-year-old kid who's going to get shot in the crossfire.
You know, and Trevor, let me start with you. Kathleen and I were talking about this. As, you know, people that have lived in Toronto a long time, these are the stories that we watch from the very beginning right through until the conclusion today. And so often we end up with the same situation whereby nobody's really satisfied with what happened. Unless, of course, maybe you're satisfied with the sentencing.
I mean, whenever we have a legal story, like, I trust the courts. Like, I'm not one to go back and second judge what a lot of the judge's opinion. I mean, we have the law. If the law was followed, then, I mean, I have to be content with that. I think what makes this one super concerning and rattling for people is because it was the Eaton Center. I mean, this isn't happening in some far-off community where people aren't familiar with. This is the Eaton Center. And so on Black Friday of all times, when you're at a fever pitch in the Eaton Center with the amount of people in there, people are pretty afraid of how brazen these type of things can happen. And with such a short sentence, again, I understand the legalities behind it, but such a short sentence, that's really scary for a lot of Torontonians and a lot of people. And it's, you mean, coming off of the summer of tremendous gun violence in the city that happened on King Street West. It happened in other areas where people frequent that normally wouldn't see or think about that often. So I think this just is concerning because someone could come back out on the street. It may not feel like a significant deterrent to other people who are carrying around a gun right now and may wish to use it. So I just find that level of a concerning.
Just scared?
Well, being eligible for parole doesn't mean you get parole, right? And I think that's the first thing that everyone kind of has to understand. This by no means mean that in 16 months' time, this gentleman's going to be out back on the street. Like, there's a lot of tests that apply before anyone's given this opportunity, and it's stringent. And again, I'm going to echo the same sentiment that I have full faith in our court system. I have full faith in our judges, and I have full faith in that even the parole eligibility process will be followed pretty strictly. And again, the likelihood of him getting out in 16 months is probably pretty low, and I believe his own lawyer actually said that as well.
Yeah. I find it's anecdotal, Dan, and, you know, and as the guys were saying that, I think that almost everybody has faith in the justice system until they have, you know, personal interaction with it. I had my best friend was murdered on the Danforth, and the man that murdered him was found NCR. And my wife was at the trial every day with my best friend's wife, his widow, and it personally affected me. And I know that the that the sentencing was probably the right sentencing at the time, but it doesn't take the emotion out of it. So I can really feel for Connor and his family here, having gone through 7 years of therapy after being shot in the head.
There's nothing anyone can say tonight that's going to make the families of the victims and their friends feel any better. It's a horrible situation. It's a jarring verdict. Like you guys, I do have a lot of faith in the Canadian justice system and cross my fingers and hope that the right decision was made here. But we have to realize that it's not a good versus evil thing. This is we can't find simplistic answers to the level of violence we're seeing in some of our cities now. And I think eventually we're going to have a conversation about the perpetrators and the circumstances under which they grew up. Not excusing anything, of course. It's a difficult, awkward conversation to have. But there are victims who get caught up in that lifestyle as well. And there are important cultural and social factors that we need to look at. And this guy came from a really, really dark place. So the fact that he ended up where he is surprising, yes, but not completely unusual.
Kathleen, let me ask you, when it comes to a situation like this, I mean, you have my experience of firsthand knowledge of the justice system and seeing sentencing, having the guys talk about their faith in the justice system. When you look at issues like this, do you put your mom hat on sometimes and your politician hat on at other times, or is it the same hat all the time?
Well, I think when I listened to that young man talk today, you know, I definitely had my mom family hat on. But just to the point about the justice system, and we were talking about this before, I have faith in the justice system too. What I worry about sometimes is that we don't extend the supports to people who have had really difficult lives, and that's a whole other conversation. But in order for them not to go into the dark again, they need support. And we sometimes don't get that as a society. You know, we think, okay, you've served your time, and I believe, yes, now we have to take the next step. And if the parole board determines that, and I agree with you, I don't think the parole board probably will let him out, but at some point, we have said as a society, people can be reintegrated into society, but sometimes we don't put the supports in place to help them not to reoffend.
Let's move on to the UK today, where members of the public literally ran towards danger to confront a suspect. That, according to the mayor of London, praising members of the police and the public who confronted the alleged London Bridge attacker. The UK Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, also saying this today.
I also want to pay tribute to the extraordinary bravery of those members of the public who physically intervened to protect the lives of others. And for me, they represent the very best of our country, and I thank them.
Now, we had a conversation, I'll start with you, Trevor, on this one. We had a conversation on the show today about running towards danger in the UK versus people in Toronto ignoring victims, specifically the 70-year-old woman who was the victim of a hit-and-run. Police saying there was probably 10 or 12 cars that actually drove by this person, nobody stopping. Do you think that there's a disconnect between that country and our country? Do you think there's a reason why Torontonians, and I know this is two different things, running towards a suspected terror act and ignoring a victim. I know they're two different things,
yeah,
but...
I don't know. I think it's just a special type of person. Like, I think this is next-level courage. This is next-level sort of heroism. I mean, when the van attack happened in Toronto, we had people running out of the buildings and were first on response with people on the sidewalks who had been hit, right? I think Torontonians aren't afraid of this and to running through, but it does take a special type of, like, I would love to think that, you know, I mean, you would react in a courageous way, but like, that's next level. If you're seeing someone with a knife, you know you're putting yourself in immediate harm's way. They weren't sure if he had an active vest on, so you're running into something where you're definitely putting yourself in immediate harm's way. That's incredible. And I don't think everyone in the moment of crisis would be able to step up in that way. And that's fine. Like, there's no shade on them. But I think these people that ran right in, I mean, it's like firefighters. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's running out of the building, they're running in. Like, for heaven's sakes, it's a special breed of person.
Yeah, and we also find out in this instance in the UK that that this man had what turned out to be a fake bomb vest on. So if you're even seeing something like that and you're running towards it, it really would take, you know, it's always one of those, we put ourselves in that situation, right?
You never know how you're going to react. But, and obviously we have to applaud people that are willing to risk their lives for their fellow citizens. It's an incredible thing. I'm not sure we would have seen so many of these scenes a few years ago in London. And the reason why we are maybe today is something a bit more dark, I think, if you don't mind me going there. And that is that that in the UK, in Europe, there's a normalization of these kinds of incidents. And I believe there was a similar attack in that very same area just a few years ago, if memory serves. So unfortunately, I think a lot of European citizens are getting accustomed to that level of violence, and that's a scary place to be. I hope we don't get there.
Yeah, and do we have a disconnect in our country? Do we have an apathy? Because I guess they're two different things when you're used to violence in one country. But specifically, I'll ask you about this hit-and-run accident. People saying today, you know, that the Toronto's a pass-the-buck type of city, whereby my time is always more important than your time. So if I see someone lying in the street, I'm going to drive by because you probably have more time to deal with it on your way by.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily believe that. I think everyone has a capacity for courage. Everyone has a capacity for empathy and looking out for their fellow citizens and their fellow people. You know, there's a lot that happens in the behind the scenes. There's a lot of different contexts that we may not have a deep understanding or appreciation of. Sometimes people don't even notice when they're driving around. Or maybe they don't understand what they're driving past. Like, there's a lot there to us to kind of pass judgment on whether or not people are driving by, or that Toronto lacks a heart that folks in London have. I've twice in my life now, once when I was a student, there was a shooting on Yonge Street, and I was walking by, and I remember the shooting go off. And I, by no means am I a hero or a courageous person. I'm really just a normal guy. But my first instinct was to run into that and to see who was on the ground and what happened.
Wow.
And there's other folks who did that with me, right? This was 10, 15 years ago, back in undergrad days, or probably more than that now,
actually. And you still had two good knees.
Yeah, I did. And then I'll give you another example from like a year or two ago in my neighborhood. There was kids, it was full-out brawl, you know, on our street. And one of the kids had what looked like a gun. Now, we later realized it was a BB gun. At the time, we had no idea. My brother and I ran out of our house and stopped it. And that was not because we wanted to be courageous or heroes. It was just our first instinctual reaction was, we got to do something about it because this is our community. It's happening on our front door. So, again, I don't pass it by Torontonians to act similar to the way folks in London did.
I want to wrap up with something a little lighter as we roll into the weekend. I'll start with you, Trevor. Black Friday, 43% of us plan to shop today compared to 34% of us on Boxing Day. I have never once bought anything on Black Friday.
I haven't either. I've been in the States for American Thanksgiving for them too, and like I end up just sleeping in and watching like reruns of like Below Deck. Like I don't actually head out. Like, you always have grand plans. Like, I wanted to be involved in the riot, you know what I mean? Like, people throwing things at Walmart at 6 a.m. I wanted to be there for that, but I've never gone. And same thing with Boxing Day. Like, I think it's different though. Like, Black Friday is really great because you can buy your Christmas presents, but then Boxing Day is sort of like after Christmas once you've already done everything. So I slept through it.
Okay.
I didn't buy anything.
Dan, plans?
Hard boycott for me. I'm not
You're
a shopper.
You're boycotting even.
I'm not going so far as buy nothing day, but I'm not a fan of consumerism. I hate shopping malls. I can't stand it. I have enough stuff. I've had the same TV for 12 years, and I want to end by giving some advice for Torontonians. Yes, it's Black Friday weekend, but wait until January, February. That's the secret red month. That's when everyone's not shopping. That's when the real deals can be had.
12-year-old TV. Is it color?
It's color and HD as well.
Nice. Okay. I was just curious.
It works fine.
Just curious.
Is it a box?
It works.
So I have a family WhatsApp group, and everyone was sharing links today for shopping. And I was like, what's going on? Why is everyone randomly sharing links? And then I asked my peers beside me at work, and they're like, it's Black Friday, man. Like, you have no understanding of what's going on? I'm like, so that's why the path was insane today at lunch when I was going down? Like, nothing made sense to me. But folks actually do care, and I think Black Friday is much more attractive than Boxing Day for that same point, because it's in the lead up to Christmas.
Yeah.
It's much more practical. It's more purposeful. Boxing Day is like the day after. By then, it's like, who even cares?
It's what I didn't get day.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's just the excitement's missing, and as well, the utility of that day is not there the way Black Friday is.
Well, if you are doing any shopping tonight, be kind to your neighbors, do all that stuff, and not be aggressive in parking lots, and just be
No,
be
that's
good
part
to each
of
other.
The whole festivities. You're supposed to fight everyone.
He's getting in a fight in the parking lot.
Well, otherwise, what's the point?
See, this is why he's
Trevor
the guy
wanted
to run
to
in
see.
All the time. Thank you all so much. Have an incredible weekend, guys. We appreciate it.